Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to the giggle.
The giggle.
So we have taken the giggle on the road today. We're really roughing it today,
yes,
Jeremy.
Absolutely.
Oh my God. When I travel with Jeremy Murphy, there is no such thing called roughing it.
Roughing it is the Holiday Inn for me. That's camping.
So, Jeremy, do you want to share where we are today?
We are in Bemelmans, which is a classic New York institution. Mm-hmm. It's been here since the 40s.
1947.
Mm-hmm. And it is the place for Upper East Siders mm-hmm. to meet celebrities, socialites, royals, mm-hmm. Everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's in the Carlisle. And the murals were painted by Mr. Bemelman.
Yes, Ludwig Bemelmans.
And they depict various scenes with bunnies.
Bunnies having tea or cocktails.
Yes.
Or smoking cigars. Sign.
So with us, we have Jennifer Cook, who is the Director of Communications for the Carlisle.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today in Bemelmans.
And I was doing the math. 7 years. You've been here 7 years.
I have been. You're right.
Yeah.
May 1st will be my 7-year anniversary.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy, but I don't have the 7-year itch.
Well, it seems like I did see the documentary.
Yeah, okay,
Always
good.
At the Carlisle.
Yes.
And I know for myself as a traveler, I love going to a hotel when I come back and I know the people that are behind the scenes.
Right.
And that's what I loved so much about that, you know, about the documentary is that it's not just the hotel, it's the people who make this place
so
special.
That's what really makes it. It really is the employees who have been here for.
Yes.
I mean, we have a bellman that's been here for 56 years.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that, I mean, can you even imagine
that's
working
fantastic.
For her
that long? That was Jimmy? Was that the
that's
one?
That's Danny.
Danny
the bellman.
17 years old, right?
I know. He started when he was 17.
Right.
I know.
So what brought you to the Carlisle? I know you were with Four Seasons.
I was with Four Seasons for a long time before this, mm-hmm. and I'd always wanted to live in New York, but it had to be the right, you know, position, and my former boss at Four Seasons, our regional vice president, Radha Arora, became the president of Rosewood Hotels. And he, you know, like a year into his position, he called me and said, the Carlisle needs a new PR director. I think you should come do this. And I said, oh, I mean, the Carlisle is, you know, it's amazing. It is an institution.
It really is.
And I couldn't really pass that opportunity up. So I'm so happy I did it.
Awesome.
Because this place is so special.
And you're more than a PR
person
because you're almost a producer.
Well, I was a producer.
You are a producer.
At the Carlisle. I was.
That.
Yes. And tell, how did that come about?
So I had been here not even a year. And one day I received a call from director Matthew Miele. He called me and said he had just come out with the Bergdorf Goodman documentary.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And I think it was just about to come out in theaters maybe the week later. So I had been reading about mm-hmm. it. And he said, you know, I'm coming out with this film on Bergdorf. And I said, oh, I know. I said, I've been reading about it. I can't wait to see it. And he was so excited that I knew about it, even. And he said, I want to do the exact same thing at the Carlisle. And I said, you do? I said, okay. I said, that's amazing. He said, mm-hmm. there's no other hotel in the world that I think would be worthy of a
amazing.
Film.
Amazing.
And I just, you know, and I was still learning about the property and but I really did. I knew that there was something special about this place that just is not like any other hotel. And so he said, go watch the Bergdorf film and then let's meet and let's chat and see what we can work out. And so he came in, I saw the Bergdorf film, I loved it. I thought, oh my gosh, if we could have this exact same, like a movie, an actual, you know, full feature length documentary, it would be incredible. So he came in and we met and I just instantly really liked him as a person. He got the hotel. Mm-hmm. I knew that this could be an incredible project.
Right.
However, I knew there were going to be a lot of hurdles we had to jump through to get something like that
absolutely.
Approved. You know,
right.
a part of Rosewood Hotels. You know, it's not easy to just say, oh, we're going to make a movie on the hotel. But through a lot of discussions and perseverance
right.
it took about, it was about a year later before we even got the final approval.
Oh my God.
Went through a contract process. I mean, it was such a process. But our owners were super excited, which was wonderful. And we started filming, I think, that following spring.
So this was 5 years in the making.
It was 5 years since we met,
oh
and then we
God.
Filmed for 4 full years. I mean,
wow.
Crazy.
Well, I couldn't get over the celebrities that
yeah,
you got.
Yeah.
How did you manage to get
yeah.
them involved?
Were you,
I mean,
like, as a producer? you know, everybody was a little bit different. I mean, we came up with just this huge master list of everybody we'd like to include. I mean, we kind of sat down and we said, look, if we can get George Clooney and Woody Allen to do the film, that would be amazing.
Right.
We got both of them, but it took 2.5 years to get
yes.
both of them.
Hmm.
You know, in the beginning we thought, oh, we might film for 2 years. We didn't know exactly how long
mm-hmm.
the whole process was going to take. But we interviewed over 150 people, and it just took time. You had
absolutely.
To be patient. You know, some people, I mean, these celebrities, I mean, had been staying here for years and years and years and loved the hotel. So we kind of, but I don't know, I didn't know George Clooney was going to say, yeah, sure, I'll do it.
But you chased him, which was...
I did,
yeah.
but not in a very, very...
But yeah, but very elegantly,
very
but
subtly.
You befriended his publicist,
yes,
and you had a great camaraderie with them.
We did, and I knew that he was coming. He had stayed in the hotel, even during that, probably in year one, think year one or year two, he had lived here for 3 months while he was filming a movie here.
Right.
And you know, but he was filming and he was busy, and I wasn't going to bother him, and it just didn't work out when he was here. And then he was coming back probably a year and a half later, and so I emailed his publicist and I just said, you know,
Stan.
I know Mr. Clooney's coming back. Stan, I said, you know, I know he's coming back next week, you know, just wanted to revisit this one more time. And you know, again, we knew if it wasn't going to happen, it wasn't.
Right.
And he came back to me almost immediately and said, he's in, he'll do it. He'll do
oh
it when he's
God.
There. We literally, within a week, had the interview set up, and it was really a fun one.
He was fantastic.
Yeah,
so
he was
nice.
So
I wish
great.
We could have shown the whole interview. I mean, he talked for about 40 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And just could not have been nicer and so gracious and loves this hotel, loved the staff, love him. That was kind of the joke through a lot of the interviews. Matthew would start asking the employees, who's your favorite celebrity? And, I mean, 9 times out of 10,
yes,
everybody said George Clooney.
And Woody Allen. So Woody
right.
plays in Cafe Carlyle.
He does.
Every Monday
Every Monday, with the exception of we close the Cafe Carlyle in the summertime.
Right.
And he plays, I mean, basically every Monday through.
But he's
the
kind
year.
Of a recluse, because I've seen him, and
mm-hmm.
he comes on stage, he performs, and then he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say a word. So
he doesn't really interact with the audience,
yeah.
No. I mean, but he loves to play the clarinet.
Yep.
And he's been playing here for 22 years.
How did you get Woody?
I mean, for the documentary.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't speak, though. Didn't he? I don't remember.
He did. he gave a very nice interview.
Okay.
Yeah. There's actually an extended version of his interview and some of the extras.
Got it. Okay.
If you
right.
go on the iTunes extras, you can watch, I think it's almost his full interview.
Okay.
It was probably a 15-minute. It wasn't a long one.
Right, right, right.
But he said the nicest things about the hotel. It was almost like he was honored to perform
absolutely.
Here. I mean, it was really impressive.
Well, I love the Jack Nicholson ones here, because that was surprising.
I know.
And I loved, what was it, the bellman, the doorman.
Right.
Who had said
Ernesto.
That,
yes.
So
yes.
Do you want to share that story?
So, I mean, so Jack Nicholson did not, he was not interviewed for the film.
Right.
We did ask him. He knew we were doing it, so... I think he was not opposed to it. It just, he wasn't in New York. It just didn't work
right.
out for him to do. You know, he would be a tough one to get. But Angelica Houston did the interview. And she, of course, used to stay here with him. So we got good stories from that. But the doorman, this was back probably in the 80s when he was staying here. He walked outside of the hotel and there were a bunch of paparazzi. And Ernesto, the doorman, said, how did he start it off? He goes, the paparazzi were trying to take pictures of him. And he said, no, no pictures. Or only unless you let me pose in a picture with Ernesto. And you bring him an 8x12, like,
right.
you know, 8x10 picture back for him later today. And he was like, all right, fine, I'll do it. So the photographer took a picture of the two of them together.
Aww.
And then brought it back to him. And he said, please tell Mr. Nicholson that I took this photo of you. And so it was cute.
Now,
really
he's known for having a little mischief. Does he do anything in the... Because there's one hotel I heard where he and Danny DeVito are best friends. Uh-huh. And at night, what they do is they go and switch everybody's shoes. And then they add grapefruit juice to everybody's room service order.
No.
So these people wake up and their shoes are not theirs and there's grapefruit.
Oh, how funny. I don't know of any stories of him doing that, but I know he'd always walk around with a cigarette as well, like even in the elevator. And they'd be like, well, it's Jack Nicholson. We're going to just let him do whatever he wants. He's Jack Nicholson. So, but he was always so nice to the staff, too. So I know they really liked him.
What are some of your favorite interviews from the...
I loved Anthony Bourdain's interview.
He
did in the bar here, actually. He sat at the bar. He was so kind and immediately said yes to the interview. And I did not realize how knowledgeable he was about Ludwig Bimmelmans. He was inspired. He had read a lot of his books.
Right.
And he was inspired by him. And so he sat down and I think again another 45-minute interview.
Wow.
That he required. I know, it was amazing. And he was so knowledgeable about the bar. It was unbelievable.
Well,
and loves the hotel. Yeah. So that was great.
Well, and I love the Elaine Stritch one and that eerie thing. Like, was that the...
I know.
Was shooting the morning she died?
Yes.
Like, tell me that.
Okay. So, I have to explain this. So Elaine Stritch, we were one of her last interviews. I know, before she passed away. We were interviewing John Pizzarelli, who's a regular in Cafe Carlisle performer. And it was that morning, and John came in to do his interview, and we did it in Cafe Carlisle. And it was probably, I don't know, 10 or 11 in the morning. But all of a sudden, all of the electricity went out in the room. Like, we called engineering, come fix this, we're in the middle of, we had just started the interview. Everything went out, with the exception of the perimeter lights around the murals in Cafe Carlisle. And we caught our engineers, who always could figure everything out, could not figure out what was wrong.
Oh, wow.
It was so strange.
It's like I get, like, chills.
Oh, totally gets me the chills. It was, even in the lobby right here, the Madison Avenue lobby, lights went out there. It was so strange. Couldn't figure it out. And John, we sat, I mean, 20 minutes went by, 30 minutes went by, couldn't figure it out. John said, guys, I'm so sorry, I have to go because I have to be somewhere, another appointment. So we were like, John, we're so sorry. We're going to have to reschedule this interview. So he left. I mean, he was, you know, so nice about it. And it was about 2 or 3 hours later, we got a phone call that Elaine had passed away that morning.
That
It still gives me goosebumps talking about it today.
Again. Oh, my God.
That she had passed away that morning.
Now, she lived in the hotel.
She lived in the hotel for about 13 years, 12 or 13 years. So, I mean, you know, and we told that story to a lot of different, you know, after that.
Right.
And everyone said, you know, I'm sure it was the ghost of Elaine, you know.
She's such a character.
She would be that kind of a person to do that.
I think she lived on the third floor.
She did, you're right.
So I went to the spa, and I'm like waiting by the elevators, and all of a sudden I hear, no, I don't want a sandwich, you nitwit. And I'm like, that's Elaine.
That voice, that, you know, it was unmistakable.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she was a character.
Absolutely.
And I mean, she was here, but the staff loved her, too. But she had some great stories, and her interview was funny, too.
Now, tell the story about the most famous elevator ride in history.
The most famous elevator ride in history was apparently with Princess Diana, Michael Jackson, and Steve Jobs.
All in the same elevator.
In the same elevator.
All in the same elevator. And I guess that would have been, I don't know. I don't know if that would have been the late 80s.
Yeah, I was going to say in the 80s.
Wow.
I know.
That is crazy.
Yeah. So they all were, can you imagine getting on that, like with the doors open?
Oh my gosh.
And who said hello first? Or did
I
just not say a word?
Well, I
just looked around.
Well, I think they were, Princess Diana and Michael Jackson.
Probably.
I believe they were friends.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that was kind of widely reported. I don't know if Steve Jobs must have just gotten on the elevator. I mean, but that's, you know, the elevator here is so interesting because you can be on it and you have no idea who's going to.
Yep.
Who's going to walk on when those doors open.
Yeah, I didn't like John Hamm's comment about the elevator operator, because I love them.
Because I love, I know, he was being, But we've had elevator operators since we opened. Yeah.
So how much control did you have on this, just to make sure, you know, everything's positive?
The hotel had to have kind of final say-so, but there really, to be honest, there weren't any stories that we argued with Matthew and said, oh, we don't want this, or, you know, I mean, there were obviously stories that people told that, you know, maybe not they were bad against the hotel, but just maybe somebody might not want that story out about them. So, you know, there, but Matthew wasn't trying to make a film that was, you know,
like the real
scandalous
story. I did want to know where the tunnel was for Mary.
I know. That was one thing. He kept asking, where's that tunnel? Where's that tunnel? I love Danny's line.
Yes.
When he talked, he's like, I've been here for 50 whatever years at the time. And he said, I'm still looking for that tunnel.
Right.
So.
What's your favorite story of the history of the Carlisle? Is there one guest or some kind of.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I can't really pick one because there's so much history here. There's so many things that have happened. I mean, you know, I think the one thing I wish I could have experienced was hearing Bobby Short perform in Cafe Carlisle. That's probably just one of those things that, you know, he performed here for 36 years.
Oh my
and
God.
People that I know that saw him just said that was the quintessential, you know, New York, like,
absolutely.
70s and 80s. It was just such an incredible experience. So, that's probably one thing I wish I could have, you know.
So talk about Cafe Carlisle. What's
Cafe
the concept?
Carlisle, it's a cabaret club. It's been there since 1955. So it opened about 7 or 8 years after Bemelmans did.
Okay.
It was the same concept of having murals painted. For that. So those were done by Marcel Vertez.
Okay.
Who was a French, actually he's a Hungarian artist, but he won the original Moulin Rouge. He won an Oscar for that, for art direction. Yeah. So he was friends with the hotel's general manager at the time, as was Ludwig Bemelmann, so that's how these murals came to be. And so Marcel Vertez painted the murals in the cafe, and then we started these performances in there. So it was a dinner, dinner and then the show.
Right.
That was kind of how the room has always worked. So you come, you have dinner, and then now we do the shows at 8:45 every night. But, like I said, Bobby Short played for 36 years. Eartha Kitt played there many, many times.
Oh,
Elaine, obviously, played there a lot.
It's an eclectic list
of
performers.
It is. I mean, so now we have, like I said, John Pizzarelli, Steve Tyrell took over when Bobby Short passed away. And we're just trying now to do, you know, have classic performers in there, but also bring new talent that are fun and, you know, bring a new generation, too. Because we have to keep that room alive.
Oh,
and we have to keep it, you know.
I've seen Buster Poindexter three times.
I know you love Buster.
And it's awesome because at the end he does hot, 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 and they do a conga line.
That's great.
And everybody's like, "What?" It is so much fun.
Well, it's funny because
so fun.
We just saw Green Book, and and it's just kind of,
it's
really good, but it's also just taking you back to that time period.
Sure.
And it is, you know, and I know in the documentary, I think it was Dwight. Did he retire or the
Dwight retired in the middle of filming the documentary.
Yeah,
and he worked here for 35, 36 years.
But what I really liked about him was how he was saying how, you know, what people want is changing, and
it's a different world.
Yeah.
And it's sad. It's sad that
because
for, you know, especially when you go to a hotel like this where you're taking back, you know, you're sort of stepping outside of your crazy frenetic life.
Yeah,
and
so true.
It's like a time machine.
Yeah.
You want to, You come here, it's like a haven. You come here, I know.
So as much as you want to change with the times, in a way, it's sort of like, why can't we
just hold on
to it?
I know.
So that's why I want to preserve Cafe Carlisle and keep that. So we keep it classic, but we still have fun. We have Isaac Mizrahi coming next week.
He's fantastic,
you know?
Too.
We had Alan Cumming. Like, these are all just like great, you know, people that normally wouldn't probably have played the room in the past. But it's, I know, and so you have to change a little bit, but my hope is that this hotel doesn't change too much.
No.
Because
that's
really what
people
love about it
really
that
is.
It is like stepping back in time.
And New Yorkers are very possessive of it. This
very
is their hotel.
Much so.
They're very protective of it.
Oh, absolutely.
And getting in here
on
a weekday is like almost impossible.
It's impossible. I was in here Monday night. It was Monday night in January. It was packed in there.
Wow.
Couldn't get a table.
Now, the royals stay here. Tell us about Will and Kate.
William and Kate, they did. The Duke and Duchess. They stayed here back in, I believe, December of 2015. That was their first trip to New York. And it was very publicized. And,
right.
You know, that they were staying here. And that was, amazing. That was, I mean, I was in the lobby when they arrived. And, I mean, wow, what a...
And they were receiving line, and you get to meet them.
There were about 10 of us in the lobby, I would say. They didn't come through and meet all of us, but they, you know, definitely spoke to all of us. I mean, they were so kind, so gracious. You know, Princess Diana had obviously stayed here, so I think that played a little bit into their decision.
Any fun anecdotes about, like...
I mean, they were here for just 2 days. Okay. It was sort of, I mean, you know, they were here, they did so much. I don't know, they were probably exhausted. But, I mean, they stay, you know, we don't really talk about what happened here, Jeremy, you know that. But they were great. And so I hope they'll come back, but, you know, they've been here that one time.
Okay. What is your day like?
Oh, my gosh. My day's never the same.
Never the same.
Never the same. I mean, I do book all the Cafe Carlisle artists.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So I've been doing
that. That's fun.
It's so fun. I've been doing that for about 3 years now. Two or three years. Yeah. So that keeps me really... So almost every day I'm doing something with the cafe.
Oh,
something
my
with
God.
The cafe artist.
Right.
You know, signing, getting a contract signed, getting the deal done. So that takes
a ton
of time.
And how do you discover some of these new and emerging...
You know, I mean, we try to get established names for the cafe just because they need to have a draw. They need to have a New York kind of, you know, following here. But they're all a little bit different. I mean, I have good relationships with the managers, with some of these different agents that are around at CAA and, you know, ICMs of the world. So sometimes they'll call and they'll say, hey, what about so-and-so?
Right.
And we'll be like, yes or no, or whatever, maybe, or, you know. So we kind of try and pick and choose from there. It's like a jigsaw puzzle, putting the whole season together.
Well, I saw Rita Wilson.
That's fun, right? She's great.
And another friend.
Yes.
And what was so great was she was amazing.
Yeah.
And I had no idea she could sing.
Yeah.
So we were at a table, and we had a great time.
So.
Like, we were drinking wine. We were like, yeah. And
she's
At the end, Kelly Ripa and... She was with Andy Cohen, whatever, and she passes by, and Kelly goes, I want to be at your table. We're like,
So funny. She's fun.
Yeah.
Her songs are
fun. Just fantastic.
And there's always good people watching in her. There's always somebody to look at, you know. Right. You're like, oh, my God, that's so-and-so.
Yeah.
They come see her shows.
Now, Bemelmans, Jazz, when do they... When do they start playing, Jeff?
So we have live music every single night at 365 days a year in Bemelmans. So we do a solo pianist starting at 5:30 every evening.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do a jazz trio.
Okay.
So it's either 9:30 during the week or Sunday, Monday, 9 o'clock. But yeah, which is really fun. We have a lot of regulars that have been performing here forever.
Absolutely.
But then we try out new. Right now we're actually trying a new trio that hasn't performed here before.
And I've seen George and Amal in a corner. There's a great story about Mr. Bemelman and when you, and didn't he kind of stretch it out because he was living here?
Well, supposedly it took. So he got to live in the hotel in exchange for painting the murals. And apparently it took him about a year and a half, or he lived here a year and a half, so I think he was kind of, I don't know if it would have taken a year and a half to do these, but I think he, you know, liked staying here so much that that's what it took.
And it's all Central Park, and one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, it's mainly Central Park in the seasons.
The bunny being held up.
Oh, right over here. Yeah.
The bunny being held up in Central Park.
Nice. I know.
That's stunning.
I notice new little scenes all the time.
Yeah.
I never notice.
It's just fantastic.
I love it. And then Madeline's in three little places around.
So
and
what
then,
is...
Wait,
sorry.
Where was the other... There were those women, the twins?
Oh, the twins that are in the film.
Yeah.
So their father was the general manager who knew the new Bemelmans.
Right.
And they were twins. They were like babies when they moved here. I think they were 2 years old maybe when they moved here. And they lived in the hotel till they were 18. So this was their playground. And they, over on this side, there's a baby carriage with two little babies in it. And that's, he painted that to be them. So they are, you know, they're now in their 70s. And they're so funny.
Oh,
quirky.
My God.
Yeah.
And they loved to do, like, they were so excited about the documentary. And they came in. And, yeah.
So what does the Carlisle do better than anybody else? And, I mean, New York is a tough market.
Sure.
There's a lot of five-star hotels.
A lot of great hotels. I think the music scene here is just, you can't get music like this anywhere. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's obviously clubs and a lot of places downtown, but coming to Bemelmans, getting a corner booth, listening to music, having a martini.
And the food is delicious, too.
The food is great, too. We have a new chef. Oh. Just started about last year.
Wonderful.
So that's exciting. So we're having new menus coming.
Very good.
But, honestly, getting a drink in Bimmelman's, anybody can do that. You don't have to be a hotel guest to come in and experience. Because you have art around you, you have music, and good cocktails.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's really... I think it's the best.
Well, and it's funny because I remember when I grew up in Brooklyn, so
mm-hmm.
and so it was when I was in high school, it was always like there were certain things you had to do in Manhattan,
right?
You know, and it was always you needed to go to Tiffany, you needed to go to. At the time, I think it was Bergdorf, but it was like that or Bonwit Teller, one of them.
Oh, because they were in a different, okay.
Yeah, but there was just certain iconic things.
That you had to go do.
Yeah, and then you'd have to have tea, all those different things, and I kind of feel like that, it's like those bucket list items for people.
Of course, that this is one, I think,
it should be on that,
yeah.
And it's a neighborhood bar.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, what I love about it is that people watching is so good.
Oh,
I mean, you could be sitting next to a couple in their 80s,
mm-hmm.
but you could also be sitting next to 20-year-olds that are all dressed up, to go to a party. You see such an age range, and it's great people watching. So I love that, too.
And in addition to booking celebrities or performers, you also helped bring Bill Murray to the Carlisle. Tell us about that.
I think I helped a little bit. Oh, gosh, it's such a long story. But back in... 2015, he filmed his Christmas special that he did with Sofia Coppola called A Very Merry Christmas. They filmed that here in March of that year.
Right.
It was released during the holidays. But randomly, I had met him the previous year in Morocco, of all places. I was with two girlfriends on just a vacation, and we ran into Bill and met him, and... one thing led to another, and we were just chatting. He said, "What do you do at the Carlisle? Do you book music?" And we started chatting.
Right.
And he was kind of secretive about it. And I said, "I do. Why? What do you want to do?" And he said, "Well, I'm supposed to do this Christmas thing. I don't know. We'll call you." And I like to think that played a little bit. I think Sofia wanted to film it here,
mm-hmm.
regardless. But I'd like to think it all was very serendipitous.
Right.
And then they came here and filmed, and we filmed 4 days.
Oh my
god! They filmed that show almost entire. It was on Netflix.
Right.
So if you haven't seen it, A Very Merry Christmas. It's a 60-minute show. So cute, and it was entirely filmed in the hotel.
Oh my god!
With the exception of there's a dream sequence,
right.
And that was filmed on a soundstage with George Clooney.
Now, Bill has this funny thing where at bars, just pass out or whatever, he'll come and take a photo with the person, and they won't remember, and we'll wake up, and they're like, "I'm with Bill Murray."
That's hilarious, yeah. I think he has lots of funny stories.
Absolutely.
So so now he's kind of a Carlisle regular, and he's the best. He's my favorite.
Absolutely. So, filming in the Carlisle, talk about that. Like, do you get a lot of movies?
We get so many requests. We can't do a lot of them because it's tough on the operation. But we will, if it makes sense for us, we will work it out. But for Bimmelman's in the Cafe, it's easier because these are kind of confined spaces, so they can load in off Madison Avenue, and they don't really disrupt what's going on in the hotel. It doesn't disrupt the guests. We can film. It's better to film during the day because, the bar does open at noon every day, but so it's better to film. We can close it until 5 o'clock isn't, that much of a big deal. A cafe is always closed during the day. So these two spaces, when it makes sense, Woody Allen's filmed a few movies here. The TV series Younger that Sutton Foster's in.
Right.
They filmed in Bimmelman's.
Oh,
wow.
I would have been hanging out in the corner for that.
Yeah, I know. So, it's... it's a lot. So a lot of these are, they're 50 to 100 person crews. They actually almost, we talked to them about filming. They wanted to film in the lobby. And it was, we just can't.
Right.
We just can't film in the lobby. And then, but who knows? They might come back. And I think Bimmelman's would be perfect.
Oh, my God. Especially.
Such a good show. So it's perfect. I know.
Well,
I know.
And it's funny. Did you see the Saturday Night Live, the Leslie Jones Upper East Side
song? Oh, my
song?
God.
Hilarious.
It was hysterical.
We didn't know that was happening. I mean, they were supposed to film something, for the season opener last fall. They were going to do, a short here in the bar. And then, for some reason, it ended up not working. From their side, it just didn't work out. And they said, we're going to figure out, we'll put the Carlisle in some other way later.
Right.
And then all of a sudden on Sunday, I woke up, my phone was like, of course I didn't watch it on Saturday. My phone was like, all these people were like, did you see?
Oh my God.
It was the best. Yeah. It was the best.
I know. The fact that we got a shout out and like only like three places got a shout out. Exactly. It was pretty cool.
It was fantastic. It's so funny because we have very good friends who, you know, we all started out living in the city and they moved to the burbs and they just got an apartment on the Upper East Side. So I sent that video to them. I'm like, see?
Totally. Oh my God, I love it.
So how do you decide? You get all these requests. How do you decide which...
What to do and what not to do? You literally cannot do everything.
Right.
So you have to pick and choose, and you have to pick what makes sense, who you want to partner with, mm-hmm. you know, if Vogue calls and, you know, or Elle or, you know, some of the big magazines want to call and do a photo shoot. You know, we try and work with them on it. But you can't do them when we've declined really big ones, too, just because either we're too busy, the mm-hmm. hotel is full, that happens sometimes, or the scope of what they want to do just doesn't fit with us, you know, with the business.
Right.
We have to keep in mind about disrupting guests. That's the number one thing that we cannot do. We have to do it very minimally.
Well, Beth and I come from a television background.
Right.
And one of the things that people don't realize is when they're filming something, they take over. I mean, they take over. And it's a huge deal.
These are 50 to 100, sometimes 100 person crews.
Right.
And it's even the staff are like, what's happening here? Because really the Carlisle for years didn't allow anything. Then I came along. And I think for the right things, it makes
absolutely
sense.
Right.
I mean, especially this day and age and, you know, what's going to be shared on a good social media channel or what, you know, so you have to weigh all the options and everything's on a case-by-case basis.
Right.
And some things we want to do and we can't do, and some things we do and maybe wish we hadn't. But for the most part, and right now we're under renovation. Our guest rooms are...
Talk about that.
So our guest rooms are under renovation. We have only about 25% of the... So we have 190 rooms.
Okay.
So right now we only have about 40 rooms even available to sell. So we are sold out basically all the time.
Right.
Which is, you know, it's good, but then we have construction on all the lower floors.
Right.
So it's exciting. It's been going on, though, for almost a year now. So it's just, you know, in a place
like
this.
And when is it expected to be done?
So we're going to be getting some new rooms back soon, like probably the end of February, early March.
And talk about the rooms. Like, what are they going to feature?
So they're going to be... So Tony Chi is the designer. He's mm-hmm. a New York-based designer, and he did Rosewood London, which is a beautiful hotel. And he's doing the new Rosewood Hong Kong that's about to open. So he's very close with Rosewood and has beautiful design. And so he's really trying to keep this residential feeling of the Carlisle,
mm-hmm.
keep it with Art Deco influences, like the hotel has always been known for, but obviously bring it to the modern, you know, the bathrooms were all gutted. I mean, it's a major restoration
Absolutely,
that we have not done in, I don't know, I don't even know when, if ever.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, I've seen... you know, mock-up rooms of what it's going to look
mm-hmm.
like. I still don't even know what the suites, I don't know what the suites are going to look like. So it's exciting. But, you know, it's changed, too. So it's, you know, some guests, I'm sure, won't like it, and some will. But, you know, it's always an adjustment. You know, change is not easy.
Right.
But it needed, it was time for that to be done. And he's not doing all. He's doing about 155
mm-hmm.
of the 190. So the remaining rooms will be done by different designers as we go along. A lot of those are apartments that we bought
mm-hmm.
back because we have close to 40 owned units actually throughout the building as well, in
mm-hmm.
addition.
Wow.
So, I know. So it's kind of, it's an interesting
mix.
It's kind of like a mini city because you really don't have to leave because
you
have the spa.
No.
Talk about the spa.
Right. We have the Sicily Spa, which is on the third floor.
Right.
And that's been there, I don't know, close to 15 years
now.
God. Yeah, it's beautiful space.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a salon, the Yves Dreef hair salon. And Yves Dreef is this French hairstylist. He's amazing, great personality.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the one that Mika Brzezinski
is? Yes. Exactly, yes. You really did watch
the film. Well, you know, I was a journalism major, but
uh-huh.
I
right.
Uh-huh. But, Yves got, Upper East Side following, so it's great to have them. That's all just on the... You don't have to leave. You're right. You really don't.
And you have the Power breakfast.
Then we have the restaurant. So the Carlisle restaurant, and that's... Right, the breakfast is amazing. It's always a lot of meetings going on in there. We do breakfast, lunch, and dinner in that space. And like I said, we have a new chef, so change is coming there for sure.
I saw Ralph Lauren out there once, and I was like, I've never, Ralph. Yeah. I know you're an icon, whatever, but I never really got him. And then I saw him, and he was dressed so impeccably. And he just was so elegant. And I'm like, okay, I get it now.
Okay, here's my secret on him.
Yeah.
His name is really Ralphie Lifshitz, and he played on the Comets basketball team with my dad when they were in junior high school.
No way.
On Marshallu Parkway in the Bronx.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
And he sold ties.
How funny. I knew that. I think I did know that.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
So that was, so that was his
what an empire.
Started in the Bronx, just like the Reiners, just like, you know,
amazing.
Gary Marshall.
Right,
all on that block in the Bronx.
Yeah.
Well, I was once at a,
I love it.
I was at a dinner once, and it was Polo people.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, you guys work for Ralph Lauren. And the woman's like, it's Lauren. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry for mispronouncing your fake last name.
Because in the 70s, it was Ralph Lauren, it was Donna Karan. Like, everyone did that in the
70s. They were trying to.
And then they changed it. And now it's so funny.
What's the most unusual request you've gotten from, like, a press person?
From a press person? I mean, probably just asking for, a week stay or something like that.
You really can't
do that. I know. Especially, I get when people are traveling from far away. Most of the requests are, they just want to come and stay and experience the hotel. So it's nothing really crazy.
Okay. How are you dealing with influencers? Who how has that changed your job?
I mean, every single day we get a request from, usually multiple requests from influencers. So, I mean, and some of them are great, and you can't do all of them. That's all you'd be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many out there. But I do think, if it's the right one and they have a good following.
Right.
It's worth it having them come to, even if they don't stay, they can come have drinks in Bemelman. So a lot of times we'll say, we can't do an overnight stay, but come have drinks in the bar and experience that.
Right.
They love to take pictures of the murals. And so that can be
for
the right, it can be for the right audience. But it has changed. Social media has.
Do you go in and see their engagement? Or
you definitely. I mean, usually they send, a lot of information, which is so much information to even, you don't have time to sift through it all. But you can go to their page and, you can kind of tell pretty quickly.
And it's got to be on brand for you.
It does.
Right.
But there's so many out there.
I would love to see a magazine take the influencers and turn them, kind of bring them back to, the 40s and 50s and, put their look and stick them in here.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
that's my idea, right? That's a cool one.
No, that's
and then they're all sharing.
Yeah.
And it's on brand.
And it's,
and it's in a magazine.
Yeah. I like it. Think about that.
And you guys are kind of the epicenter during the Met Ball.
We are.
Yeah, talk about that.
Because, so Met Gala happens the first Monday in May. And it's, oh my gosh, what a fun night that is. we as managers, we have to go and help in the lobby because there's so much activity going on. So we have to kind of help. But, you get to, also it's fun because you get to see all these, celebrities and not in models, just in the most beautiful gowns. And to see them in person versus pictures, to see it in person is unbelievable. It's gorgeous.
So let's talk about you. Did you ever imagine that this is what your career would be? What were you supposed to be or wanting to be?
I've been in hotels for a long time now. And I was a communications major in school. I grew up in Texas and went to school out to LSU in Louisiana. And then I moved to Chicago, and I got a PR internship at Bloomingdale's. So I kind of think I thought I wanted to do fashion or events side of things. And then, somebody that I had met there, I ended up interviewing at the Four Seasons.
Because it's in the same...
It's in the same building.
Yeah.
So I ended up interviewing there, and there was I thought I wanted to go into events, actually, but there was a marketing assistant position. So it was kind of like a PR marketing assistant. And I loved it. And it was, I kind of just fell into it.
Right.
And I was just never left the industry. I've always been in. And so kind of got promoted there. And then I left Four Seasons Chicago. I was the PR director there. And then transferred to the Beverly Wilshire in LA. And then really being there is when I fell in love with iconic hotels.
Right.
Mm. So that's kind of my, I mean.
And that's the Pretty Woman Hotel, right?
That's the Pretty Woman Hotel.
Reed, Bev, Will.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
I have a great story about the Beverly Wilshire.
Uh-huh.
And you and I used to work on photo shoots, and we would bring actors, and you would host. It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Harrison Ford was doing a movie, and so we were shooting him, and we told him, come to the Beverly Wilshire, here's the room number. He went to the Beverly Hilton.
He
goes up to room 805, knocks on the door, and this lady in like a bathrobe is like, oh my God, you're not my ex Benedict.
So funny. That's the best.
Oh
so,
my
can
God.
You imagine?
Yeah.
So funny.
And
he was
very curmudgeonly. Mm-hmm. We got great photos and
good photos. Yeah.
But he was like, he was like, you have an hour.
So funny. Oh, my gosh.
It was great.
I love it.
So what made you want to leave Los Angeles to come here?
I had been in L.A. for about 7 years then, and just ready for a change. And like I said, iconic hotels, I mean, I couldn't pass up the Carlisle.
Right.
I had been here only, though, once before.
Really?
I'd been in Bemelmans. I had had a drink in Bemelmans maybe a few years before that, but I loved it. And I, of course, knew of the hotel. I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah.
It was, yeah, and iconic. And so, but I couldn't pass it up. And I'd always wanted to live in New York, so...
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite story, like, your favorite request that you've heard from a guest? Because, you know, everybody talks, and is there something really outrageous?
Oh, my gosh. I know you were going to ask me. I can never remember.
No names,
what's
but, like...
I know. I mean, I don't know. I feel like... I always ask the concierge...
It's okay.
Oh, we just cut music.
Look at that. Are we going to have to pay royalties on this? Shut
up. Can we turn that down for just 5 minutes? Sorry.
Yeah.
You can
no worries. It's fine. It's good.
I'm trying to think of like a really good story of somebody.
Well, there's a great story,
I mean,
and I can't name the hotel, but one of the Saudi princes had come with his whole family, and he had a kid, and the kid was, you know, alone.
Yeah.
So they actually asked the concierge if they could buy a child to play with.
Buy a child?
Buy a child.
Buy a friend.
Yeah. And the concierge was like, no. No, you can't do that. And they wanted, like, right now, we want to.
Yeah.
So they get some pretty
great. Did you take square?
Oh, my God. Right. It was like, oh, my God, that's so funny. I mean, I know the concierge does get crazy requests,
right.
But I feel like it becomes almost, like, second nature. They almost forget to. I mean, it's mainly people that just. They want Broadway show tickets front row, you know,
right.
for like to Hamilton, you know, something that's sold out. You know, there's things like that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of something really different. I don't know, let me think about it. I know.
And you
forget.
Do like, what's great about this is like, you do little things in the rooms that make the guests feel special. Like
the monogrammed pillowcases.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
So every single guest?
Well, no, not every guest.
All right.
It's top suites.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you are a frequent guest, I think it's over.
Right.
You have to have like,
you
more
have to punch your card.
So
right.
Points, you know, but then once you get those pillowcases, then if you come back, I mean, they expect them to be, you know, we have people. My pillowcase isn't here.
So yes,
but it's special. I mean, it is. It's
that
really.
Is so
I don't know
special.
Any other hotel that does that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I mean, we have a huge room of, I mean, rows and rows and rows of pillowcases with various
essentials.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So nobody goes in and takes their pillowcases with them?
I mean, sometimes they
do. I would.
Sometimes they do. But and that's okay. If they
do,
that's fine too. But we're constantly, they're making them every day, making new ones every day.
Wow.
But we have so many.
But was that something like from the time that the hotel opened, or is that the
No, new? That was started by James McBride, who was the managing director here, probably like 15 years ago.
Okay.
Give or take. And so that was just something, I don't even know where he had a lot of innovative ideas, and that was one thing. You know, it's such a simple thing.
Right.
I mean, in the film he talks about it. He's in the film, actually.
Yeah.
Low cost, high impact.
It is.
I have so much of the film memory.
Right.
You know what you do, you feel so special.
It's just, and it's costs nothing to do that. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of coordination.
Yeah, it's a nice touch.
Sure we have it, but it's just kind of a simple touch that people, it makes it very personalized. It feels like it's your pillow.
Now, a lot of people don't know that you actually have residences in the Carlisle.
Right, we do. We have about a little under 40. And so owned apartments.
And how long have they owned them since the 40s?
No, so it's a range. It just depends. I mean, we have some that are, and they range in size. So some are small, just in a studio. And some are entire, there's two, I think, that are entire floors.
A lot of movie producers, really big.
Yeah, so, and a lot of some of them have lived here, you know, owned them for, I don't know, we have one guest, she's lived here for 25, 30 years. And then some just bought recently.
Right.
Wow.
So it's kind of, and they go on the market, and sometimes we, the hotel, buy them back.
Right.
So since I've been here, I think we bought back at least 10, if not more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think when I started, I think we had 52 owned apartments.
Do you find yourself learning more about the hotel every day?
Every day.
Yeah.
Literally, I learn something new all the time. Like some story I've never heard, you know, just something that I didn't know.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, I think you can keep learning. And really talking to the staff is what is so, you learn so much. You're like, what? I didn't know.
You know, I almost wonder, as students go to college for, you know, hotel tourism and all you could teach a class almost just on this hotel.
I know. Well, you know, we've had some schools reach out to us because they saw Always at the Carlisle. And they said, we're going to start showing this in our class. There was some hotel school, I think one of the ones in Switzerland. I mean, amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Because so, that there is something to be said. Again, it's like that service component that is lost because of technology.
I know.
And that, to me, has been, I mean, like I said, I know that I go back year after year to certain places because of the people.
Right. I know. That's the heart and soul of any hotel. But here in particular, I mean, it's people like family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've had, one of my favorite stories is we've had a guest who literally, one's a celebrity guest, flew Dwight out to go to the opera with them in Santa Fe.
Oh
it's
God.
In the film, Tommy Lee.
Yeah, right,
so I can
tell
you it's in the film. But, I mean, where have you ever heard of something like that?
That is crazy.
I mean, I know somebody that worked here was like, I think they were recovering from a surgery or something, and they went and stayed with one of our guests.
Aww.
Like,
that's amazing.
I mean, because they
That's service.
The guests, like, cares about them just as much.
It's family.
Vice versa. It is like
You know, the elevator man knows your name.
They do.
You know, and they talk to you, and they ask how your day was.
They
and,
do.
Yeah.
They really do. So that's, you know, that's
well, I hope
pretty
that
amazing.
I hope they not only show the film, but then they should be doing panel discussions and really bringing, you know, because it is...
Yeah.
It is like taking a master class on how to do it
right.
I know. And how to have a lasting legacy.
I think so, too. So that's really, at the end of the day, we wanted the film to be a love letter to the hotel.
Right.
I mean, we could do another one. There's so many stories. Mm-hmm. We could do part two, you know. But yeah, that's my hope for it was.
And your lobby.
Yes.
Dorothy Draper,
yes.
Talk about, it's
the
iconic.
Dorothy Draper,
yeah.
Right. One of the first interior designers, really. She did the Carlisle. She did all the public space when the hotel opened. The hotel opened in 1930. And so, I mean, it's still Dorothy Draper, basically. I mean, we had a refresh. Terry Despont came and did a refresh of the lobby.
He just did the Ritz.
In 2000. He did, you're
the
right.
The Ritz Paris,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's lovely. Back in 2001 was like the last public, you know, public area. But you know, you don't want to touch Dorothy Draper's design too much.
So right, right,
I think
right.
He just brought in the yellow sofas and they did a few, you know, took out the old rugs.
Is this a historical landmark? Is it?
You know, it's funny you ask that. I think the... like Bimmelman's is, or the facade is of the hotel. I think, I don't know how that actually works. Like, I think, because you can't change the facade. I know we cannot change the facade of the hotel, because it is a historical landmark.
Right.
But inside is different.
Okay.
I think it has to be over even longer than we've been here. Is it over 100 years? I really don't know. But I was just wondering this the other day, and we were talking about it in the hotel, because we didn't know. But I know the facade is.
Mm-hmm. How do you find the documentary? Where can someone find it?
So you can find it's on iTunes, it's on Amazon, and then now, actually, it's streaming on Stars.
Wow.
For the next 2 years.
Okay.
So if you have Stars, it's there to watch. If you don't, it's an easy sign up. So that's right. We did a theatrical release first, so it went... think 40 cities all over the U.S. and Canada. Did really well. And then
Have the stars seen it who were interviewed? Did you get some feedback from them?
Rita Wilson wrote me the nicest email.
Aww.
I mean, she said she couldn't stop thinking about it. She loved it so much. So that was so nice. You know, I don't know if they've all seen it. Sophia hasn't seen it. I saw her not too long ago. She had not seen it yet. I don't know. Like, has George seen it? I don't know. So I'm sure they, you know, they will. Oh, I know Angelica Houston watched it and liked it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I keep hearing all these rumblings. You know, I'll get a random email. I just watched the movie, you know.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, it was just such a special, amazing project to work on.
Awesome.
I feel very fortunate.
Well, thank you for joining us on the Giggle.
Thanks for having a lot of fun
today.
Yes. We always end with, what is one thing that makes you giggle?
One thing that makes me giggle. Talking to Jeremy Murphy.
that's exactly it. Always make me giggle.
I would say the same thing.
What's yours? You asked the guest that.
Oh, yeah. But, like, for me, it's Donald Trump.
every day it's just like something
like just absurd.
It's a giggle,
and it makes me laugh.
That's a giggle.
I mean, I cry and then I laugh.
I think for me it's either when I'm scrolling my social media feed, and it's that video.
It's something.
It's like whatever that video of the day is.
Right, makes you crack up.
Anything involving animals, dogs, like that, you know, cracks me up.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.